They are extremely intelligent beings. I believe, from my spiritual viewpoint, out to deceive us. Why would they lie so much? Their agenda is a very deceptive agenda. AI could be a part of that. If we start believing that they know more than we do about the universe and life, and everybody goes to them for answers, basically AI summarizes all their answers. Pretty soon, we're not going to have the time to dispute those answers. And people are going to say, well, you know, AI did this, and it did it in 5 seconds, and you're taking 10 years to come up with the same answers. We're not going to believe you. We're going to believe the aliens.
Are UFOs evidence of extraterrestrial life, or something far more profound and unsettling? Today, we're joined by Derek Warfel, author of UFOs and God, who believes the modern fascination with aliens could become the next great challenge to religious faith, much like the Age of Enlightenment, Darwinism, and liberal theology before it. With backgrounds in psychology, theology, and film, Derek brings a unique perspective to one of today's most intriguing debates. In this conversation, we examine the spiritual implications of the UFO phenomenon, the relationship between science and belief, and how an increasing disclosure could reshape the way we understand ourselves and our place in the universe. This is Bay Area Innovators, and I'm your host, Steve Ispas. Derek, welcome to Bay Area Innovators.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
Great to have you here from Florida today. So you wrote a book, UFOs and God, and there's just so much discussion these days and exploration, and so much is happening with UFOs and aliens. And you bring a different perspective to this, and you indicate in your book how the fact that UFOs are being more accepted is becoming an attack on faith. And
yes.
And you mention how there were previous attacks in history on faith, and let's start with those. You talk about the Age of Enlightenment, Darwinism, and the liberal theology. Let's start with those, how those have been an attack on faith.
Well, I mean, the Enlightenment, basically, you have a lot of intellectuals who are doing some pretty high-level philosophy thinking, and they basically, you know, the philosophy that came out of Anselm and Augustine and some others, they said, that's old hat. We're in a modern enlightened age, and we need to get rid of that. I mean, the old proofs for God really don't hold water. And, you know, when it first came out, those thinkers in the 1600s, 1700s, the ordinary people didn't know about it, but gradually it leaked into universities, and pretty soon it was just old hat to believe in God. Then you come along with evolution, Darwinism. Darwin and Lyell in the 1800s basically began to question that God created the universe. Maybe there was another explanation. And, you know, in the 1800s, when they came out with this, your average person on the farm or in the city didn't know anything about it, or even in the church. But 100 years later, you can't go to any university today without evolution being the foundation for all science. The other thing is, by the late 1800s, theologians, particularly in Germany, you know, they have a church state in Germany. They needed to fill pulpits. And so they put them through seminaries, and you didn't even have to be a believer. You just had to get the degree, and then you could fill a pulpit. And they didn't want to write books about their faith. They wanted to write books discrediting the faith. And so, you know, when that first came out, the search for the historical Jesus, basically the JEPD theory of Deuteronomy, no one really knew about that. But today, by the 1960s and even today, most seminaries have pretty much gone liberal, and they don't believe Moses wrote the book of Exodus. They don't believe that the historical Jesus was who the Gospels say he was. So, you know, basically things that start out small in academia can eventually take over everything else later. And we're seeing this today. How is that happening today? You get films like Disclosure Day that say we have aliens from other planets that are giving us a different explanation for how we got here, the creation of the Earth, how mankind came about. And, you know, people aren't taking it seriously right now, but gradually it's becoming mainstream. And you can see that people are looking to these beings that have these, you know, UFOs or spacecraft that can run circles around our best fighter jets. So why aren't we looking to them for the basic questions of life rather than, you know, these old philosophers from history? And so it is an attack. I mean, literally, if you watch Disclosure Day carefully, you can see that they're trying, although they won't say it, they're trying to undermine faith.
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk more about that. Like you said, Disclosure Day is the Steven Spielberg's latest film. It looks like some kind of disclosure is almost up in the air with the U.S. government and around the world. Tell us more, and I've heard reports myself of people saying, implying that they've heard, like, oh yeah, we don't want to know the truth, but they imply the truth being that aliens have created man instead of God created man. Tell us more about that whole attack that happens in their way towards faith.
Well, you know, there's the flying saucers, but there's also people who say they've had contact with these beings. And they ask them, you know, well, you're very smart. You can travel across galaxies. How did we get here? Is there a God? Is there anything else? And there's a pretty consistent answer of all these beings, these alien beings, that one is, there is no personal God. He didn't create the universe. We created the universe. We seeded DNA on Earth in a very primitive animal species, which then evolved to become man as you know it. There is no personal God, and there is no Jesus. There is no, all the other religions are just, you've got to get rid of them. We're the ones who can give you the ultimate answers to life. So that's what they say. And so, you know, and it's tempting because you look at the technology they have. The technology they have can run circles around what we have. I mean, their fastest spacecraft can go 40,000 to 200,000 miles an hour. Our fastest jets can barely go 3,000 to 5,000 miles an hour. So they seem to be like technologically maybe 1,000 years advanced to us. So it's tempting to think they might have better answers about who are we, why are we here, how did we get here, where did the universe come from? And so literally, you know, even in Disclosure Day, they paint this alien, this gray alien, as the wise know-all of everything. And you're not allowed to ask him questions because we can't know them. You know, I mean, what con man hasn't come along and said, trust me, I have all the answers. Everything else you've heard before this is no good. But there's a lot of reasons we shouldn't trust them. One is they lie a lot. When they first came, they said, you know, we're from the dark side of the moon. Well, as we realized, there's nothing on the dark side of the moon. They said, we're from Venus. And as our astrophysics became better and we realized the surface temperature on Venus is 400 degrees and can melt lead. Okay, they're not from lead. Okay, we're from Mars. And, of course, as we send up space probes to Mars, we don't see them there. So, oh, they said, well, you know what? We're from the Zeta Reticula galaxy 39 light years away. Well, we can't check them out, you know, but the bottom line is, they lie a lot. They say to people who they get in touch with, they bring them in their lair, so to speak, and they run experiments on them. Painful experiments, you know, genital experiments. And they say, we're not going to hurt you. And then they hurt you. And they control your life. And they say, don't worry, we're doing it for your benefit. I mean, at a certain point, you know, you just don't trust people anymore. So even if they are smarter than we are, doesn't mean we should trust them. I mean, anybody who's seen a James Bond film knows that the villain is like a genius. He's an evil genius. You know, just because somebody is smart doesn't mean they're moral. And so when you test these beings out, they fail the test. And it seems like they have a very deceptive agenda. And, you know, that's what I would say.
And usually morality seems to decay with the advance in technology and science. So it's pretty much just the opposite. Now, before we go into your theory of who these aliens actually are, I'd like to go over the constants of the universe. You talk about this in your book, and I think that's a fascinating topic. We talk about this in previous episodes. There's this amazing constants that how that the
right.
universe
yes.
was created, that even if they were a tiny bit off, life would not exist. So can you talk about some of them?
Well, yes. You see, basically, we went to some astrophysicists at the Reasons to Believe organization, and the narrative today that the media is putting out is basically these visitors are intergalactic visitors. They come from another planet. They come from another galaxy. Okay. And they can't. It doesn't fit. They can't be beings like us, carbon-based beings, you know, that come from another galaxy. And the reason why is, how can I say it? The Earth itself is specifically designed to support life like us. Now, it used to be in the 1960s, people said, well, all you need is a planet a certain distance from the sun, from a star, and it has water, and that will support life. And there must be billions of planets out there just like our planet that can support life like us. Well, since the 1960s, we've learned a lot about our planet. There are certain constants that are in play that if they're slightly off by just a little bit, life is not possible. For instance, the tilt of the Earth is a very finely tuned thing. If it's slightly off a little bit. Another thing is the Earth-Moon tide system. A moon system like ours that basically controls the tides is very specific. If the moon was bigger, if the circle of the moon was more than 30 days, a whole bunch of things, life would not be possible. Even if there's water on the planet, life like ours would not be possible. The magnetic field of Earth, which basically repels cosmic radiation. If it was more, it would be a problem. If it was less, it would be a problem. The atmosphere. The mix between oxygen and nitrogen, which is about 20% oxygen, 80% nitrogen. If there were more oxygen, there would be fires breaking out everywhere. And there's 14 of these things that are finely tuned. If there wasn't an asteroid belt like ours, we couldn't have life on Earth. So even though there may be billions of planets out there, our Earth is absolutely unique. We've never found anything that meets all 14. The second thing is the distances. It's 130,000 light years across our own galaxy, which is the Milky Way. That means it would take 130,000 years to travel just across our galaxy. You know, so I don't know that they're going to be hopping back and forth. And we can't even go at the speed of light. And even if we could go at the speed of light, at 1/10 the speed of light, space dust would tear any craft apart before we got there. Last is the uniqueness of life itself. Mathematicians have been tapping evolutionary biologists on the shoulder for years and saying, do you realize that the odds against life coming about by chance, by random meetings of elements, is just impossible? Like for a simple bacterium, Reasons to Believe calculated that just to get one simple bacterium, okay, not advanced intelligent life, the odds against it would be 10 to the 556 power to 1. That's 10 followed by 556 zeros to 1.
And that far surpasses the number of atoms in the universe.
Yeah. By comparison, to win the California State Lottery, you just need 10 to the 9th power to 1. You know, what a deal. You know, I mean, the bottom line is with these three reasons, these are not visitors from another galaxy or another planet. They have to be something else. And everybody's tending towards being extra-dimensional beings. There's a parallel universe in another dimension, maybe right beside us, We can't see it. We can't touch it. We can't enter it. But they can. And so they're really extra-dimensional beings. And even the best people out there, like Jacques Vallée, have said they are pretending to be from another galaxy, but they're really extra-dimensional beings.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Do you feel there's a connection between the fast development of AI in the last few years and the aliens, or any kind of plan the aliens may have for mankind?
Well, you know, I mean, certainly they are extremely intelligent beings. They are, I believe, from my spiritual viewpoint, out to deceive us. Why would they lie so much, you know? And so their agenda is a very deceptive agenda. It seems like AI could be a part of that. Certainly it will be. I mean, what I believe in the end times is that whatever they have and what they plan is just going to be accelerated. I mean, look how much faster AI can get things done. And with quantum computing, it just multiplies that. So if they have plans, literally, let me put it this way. If we start believing that they know more than we do about the universe and life, and everybody goes to them for answers, basically AI summarizes all their answers. Pretty soon, we're not going to have the time to dispute those answers or argue with them. And people are going to say, well, you know, AI did this, and it did it in 5 seconds. You're taking 10 years to come up with the same answers. We're not going to believe you. We're going to believe the aliens. I think they will use AI. You know, do I know that they seeded it? Did they create AI? I don't know. I've been following AI a little bit. The people who developed it, they tried algorithms. And AI is, you know, it's kind of like a black box. What you do is you tell this intelligence, say, this is the answer we want. Now give us an answer like that by looking at all the other answers that have come before. So it depends on what your data set is. If they can control the data set, if they can control the algorithm, they can control all the information we ever get.
Yes, and I think that's the key point. I feel you nailed it on the head right there, the control part. And with AI, many other technologies for that matter, but especially with AI, it's an issue of dependency, right? Like, it's great, you use it, it helps you, but you become dependent on it, and then you cannot survive even without it in the future. So that translates to control. Whoever controls that is going to control people's actions, thinking, behavior, and everything else. So that indeed is fascinating, and the question is how is that related to aliens?
Well, I think, you know, basically the idea is if we're going to the internet and essentially AI-powered internet for all our answers, pretty soon anybody who disagrees with those answers is going to be considered a Neanderthal. You say, well, there's a God. Well, AI tells us there isn't a God. Oh, it says basically we were designed. No, we weren't designed. We came about by chance. You know, if you start arguing with AI, people are just going to say, you're crazy. It's just like if you argue with the best professors at our university today, you're just dismissed as a Luddite, somebody from the past. And I think that it hasn't hit that point yet, but it's starting to be that everybody trusts, like you said, so much in the answers that your internet and AI searches give you that pretty soon, if you disagree with those, you know in your heart something's wrong. You know, no one's going to listen to you. In fact, you're going to become, how can I say it, persona non grata. No one's going to want you around. You're not going to, it's just like in the Soviet Union. Remember, if you didn't go along with the party line, you couldn't get a job. And I see this is what's coming in the future.
So throughout history, there seems to have been a constant, I don't want to say fight, but a constant struggle between good and evil in so many ways. And the constant struggle towards faith and religions in many ways, and that continues, I think, today. Can you talk about your understanding why that happens throughout history?
Well, I'm a Christian, so I'm giving you my point of view. But what I believe is, as I've studied the Bible and I bring out in the book, anyway, is that there is a creator God, a holy, good, omnipotent creator God. And in eternity past, before he created humans, he created another species, very powerful, very intelligent, much smarter than we are, that for lack of a better word, I'm going to call angels, that to do his tasks for him. However, in eternity past, one third of those angels decided to rebel against God. And ever since, there has been a war between the holy angels and the fallen angels, and against us as well. And you see this, I believe, in a lot of religions. You certainly see it in Christianity, that literally there are these beings that to overwhelm a more powerful creator, they have to get everybody on their side. They're trying to tempt mankind to reject God as well, or to essentially overcome anybody who believes in God and get rid of them. And, you know, if you believe in, as the Bible talks about a universal flood, they almost succeeded in the times of Noah of getting everybody to reject God. And God basically saved Noah and his family with that ark and essentially started over. Well, since that point, you know, God has worked with mankind slightly differently, but the goal of their part is always to get people to reject God. That's what, you know, has been going on. And so there's been this spiritual warfare, and this with UFOs and with these space aliens, the Greys, the Nordics, whatever the different, you know, UFO caric beings there are, who are really, I believe, fallen angels, their goal is to get us to reject God. And this thing with UFOs is just another deception of one of many deceptions. I mean, you look back in ancient Egypt, they're the ancient Egyptian gods, which essentially were fallen angels. The ancient Near Eastern gods, the Ashtaroth, the ancient, the Arabic jinn, fairies in England, the ghosts and poltergeists we see today, all the normal and paranormal characters throughout all of history have been there to distract us and turn us away from God. And this thing with UFOs is just another one of many tricks that these fallen beings have taken to distract us from our Creator. And they want to raise up a race that will only follow them and not God.
So in your theory, in your book, you feel that these aliens that are, you know, the UFOs that are coming out and trying to influence mankind, that these are these fallen angels from the past.
Either they're the fallen angels themselves, or they're robots created by the fallen angels. I mean, look at what we can do with robotics today, very lifelike looking humans. If we had thousands of years, we could create much better robots. And, you know, some people theorize that these Greys who we see are in fact robotic beings that are controlled by these fallen angels. In the film Avatar, if you remember, the guy Jake couldn't enter the world that he needed to go in. He was also paralyzed. So they gave him a robotic being that he controlled as an avatar and can work within that world. When we go to Mars, we don't go in personally. We couldn't survive on Mars. But we send robots and we control them remotely from Earth. You know, so it's possible that either they are the fallen angels themselves, or they're controlling robotics that are, you know, that are interacting with us.
Now, Derek, tell us a bit about yourself and why doing this work is important to you. You studied psychology, theology, film, and it seems like you're very motivated and you're very, this is very important to you. Tell us about your, you know, why this is important for you.
Well, as I said, I started out at college. I was going to be in engineering, and I decided, you know, I really wanted to work with people. Nothing wrong with engineering, And as I did, I realized, you know, I studied psychology because I wanted to learn about people. And then I realized the real answers were in theology, in knowing God. And so I went to seminary for a couple years. And then I went to film school because I wanted to learn how to communicate through media. But so my goal all along has been to point people and inspire them to live better lives, okay? And when I saw this about these UFOs, I just realized it was a huge deception that was coming to distract people of faith. And I wanted to say, well, something has to be done about this. So I looked to do a documentary, and I found another filmmaker who I could work with. And about halfway through the film, he said, why don't you write a companion book? Foolishly, I said, yes. And I thought it was going to be like 60, 70 page book, and it turned out to be a 350 page book. But I tried to answer all the questions that people might have. And it's an important thing to me because, you know, what you believe your purpose is in life is one of the most important things to you. And if people come along and deceive you, there's nothing worse than that. I mean, there's so many kind of fake religions out there where basically people just want to make money. And so they start a religion and then they get people to follow them. You know, and they're just making money. They don't care if they're ruining people's lives. And that's what I see this whole thing is. It's just another cult that's basically going to destroy people's hearts and lives. And the people we interviewed, it's exactly what it did. They lost their family. They lost their jobs. They lost their finances. They lost their health. And these beings saying, oh, no, we're helping you. And I'm saying, you know, this is a deception. And I feel like one like the town crier warning and say, hey, you know, don't believe them. Don't believe them. That's all.
Now, indeed, it's very tempting to believe like, you know, most people believe what media says because of the statue or the title of someone says, or like you said, the university professor or a scientist. People tend to believe in these things. Now, if an alien civilization that supposedly has all these to us amazing technology that far surpasses us would make statements, it's very tempting for people to believe that as well, and maybe not even question it, even though it might be completely false.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, let's face it, if our best fighter jets can go to 3,000, maybe as high as 5,000 miles an hour, and they can be clocked at 40,000 to 200,000 miles an hour and disappear, and they can cross the galaxies, I mean, you know, this is why Congress is doing these hearings, because they realize we can't fight back against these guys, you know. And there's even word that people in various governments are trying to cooperate with them, which if they are, in fact, demonic beings or fallen angels, that's even worse. You know what I'm saying? The governments are being co-optive. And the thing that I believe, and again, this gets back to my Christian faith, is there's one thing that's been able to stop them. And, you know, maybe other religions will disagree, but the name of Jesus Christ. There have been people who've been lifted off their bed and they don't want to go and they don't know what to do because they can't stop it. And this one guy calls out, Jesus, save me. And immediately he's dropped back on the bed. That there's power in the Son of God's name that can stop these beings. And, you know, that's what I wanted to say is that, hey, if you're being confronted with this, there's a way to stop it. There's one guy we interviewed who's been an exit counselor for people who wanted to get out of these abductions. And he's been an exit counselor for at least, I think, 800 people. You know, so this is something that works and has been effective. And we talk about that in the book. If you're confronted, what do? How do you fight spiritual warfare? You know, what's the history of these beings? What can they do? What can't they do? And, you know, the fact is there's also holy angels. There are angels out there that do miracles for us. There was a story about some missionaries overseas in the Near East who basically were huddled in a church overnight. There were natives outside that were going to kill them. And what they did is they were praying all night. And the people who could have easily come in and killed them all didn't. And years later, they managed to talk to the chieftain who was there, who later had changed his ways. And they asked him, why didn't you come attack us? We were alone all night. He said, well, we weren't going to attack with those four men on the top of the church who looked very powerful and dangerous. You know, and say, what four men? There was no one there. You know that there are God's angels. There are holy angels who are doing good things, but there are evil angels who are, I would call, supernatural beings who basically want to destroy us. You know, the Bible says that their goal is to kill, steal, and destroy. And you don't want to trust them.
What encouragement or warning would you leave people in this age of deception in so many ways?
Well, you know, it's just like anybody else who tried to sell you a product on TV. You know, be a little skeptical. Do your homework. You know, I mean, these are some of the best con men in the universe. They've been doing it for thousands of years. They know how to con human beings. My study of psychology is, obviously psychology and public relations can get people to twist their thinking. But these guys are much better than that. You know, find a faith that you can believe in, a God that you can trust, and he will guide you and protect you. Jesus is what I believe. But I would say, and I have a whole three chapters on spiritual warfare, what you can do. Don't become overly interested in them. It's just like if you wanted to study the occult, you know, you're playing with fire. You know, stay away. If you're confronted with them, you can call on Jesus' name and he'll save you. But don't necessarily go looking for it, because it's like, how can I say it? If you go to a casino, they'll tell you to start playing. You can make a lot of money. And of course, a couple hours later, you lost everything. You know, they know how to trick us. So don't become too interested. I encourage you to study spiritual warfare so you can survive this. That would be my thing. And if you look, if there's somebody says there's a UFO outside, don't necessarily go look at it. First of all, it's probably not a UFO. It's probably a natural phenomenon. But if it is, they've been using these UFOs to quasi-hypnotize people by the lights on the UFOs. I mean, people who've stopped and got out of their car report missing time for hours at a time, and they can't explain what happened. So, you know, you're opening yourself up to deception. You know, there's people who basically say, use transcendental meditation to bring these UFOs to you. That's just asking for them to control you. You know, one of the people tried to communicate with them using Ouija boards. Well, if you know anything about Ouija boards, that's the occult. It's not there to be friendly. And so I would say, you know, do not get overly curious about these things. You know, study spiritual warfare. You can read the book. You can get all the background. UFOsandGod.com is the movie coming out in early September. UFOsandGodBook.com is my site. There's a lot of freebies on both of those. There's a trailer on there. You can look up things for free and learn a bunch of things. Check us out. You know, we believe well, I'm not just doing this for money. I'm doing it because I believe it's dangerous.
Yeah, so we have a free copy of your book right here. Tell us, when is it going to be available and how can people get it?
Yes, you can get it. It'll be coming out, be distributed through Barnes & Noble and another number of sites starting August 25th. But you can pre-order it now at Barnes & Noble. If you go to Barnes & Noble, look at UFOs and God, you can pre-order it now. The movie's coming out September 11th, and you'll be able to get it on your favorite streaming channel like Amazon and some of the others, maybe Apple. I don't know. We'll see. But we're going out to a number of streaming channels, so you'll be able to get it there. You know. So, yeah, please look for it. Check us out online. There'll be more information there. And plus, I'm going to be sending Steve two papers that I've written that you're welcome to post if you want. One is reviewing some of the stuff I just said, called What Really Are These UFOs? And another one just about Disclosure Day, talking about the film, why it's a dangerous film, because it's repeating a narrative which is just not true. They're not harmless beings.
Derek, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. It's a fascinating topic, and I'm sure we'll hear more about this in the future. Thank you again for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you as well.
Thank you for watching another episode of Bay Area Innovators. If you enjoyed this episode and you know someone who should be on our show, please send us an email at sfbay@epochtimes.com. We would love to hear from you. Thank you, and see you next week.